Thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about solo entrepreneurs in the PR and marketing space, and really anyone who works for themselves independently. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters. I am here with my fantastic co-host, Karen Swim of Solo PR Pro, and we are joined by a very special guest today. Isn't that right, Karen?
Yes, yes. We're so happy to welcome Jean Zeno, who's an avid entrepreneur and nationally recognized expert in the next way of working. Jean is with MBO Partners, the company that he launched to reinvent the way that independent consultants and organizations work together. And I can personally credit Jean Zeno and MBO Partners for educating me on how to work as an independent contractor compliantly. I have, over the years, continue to point to them as an expert. When you want to do things right, when you want to hire outside talent, or you want to work as an independent contractor, it's so important to understand not only how to do your job, but how to do it in the right way and how to hire people in the right way. So Jean also fueled a passion in me for this market, and I'm so thankful to have you here, Jean. Hello.
We are. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that gracious introduction, Karen. I very much appreciate it. It's great. It's great to spend some time with you.
Thank you.
The topic we're mainly going to cover today is something that's really almost inflamed the independent contractor world, is the increasing legislation about what constitutes an independent contractor versus an employee under the eyes of the law. We've got AB 5 in California, additional legislation looming in New Jersey, Massachusetts, and now with the passing in the federal level in the House of Representatives, HR 2474, aka the PRO Act. It's just really thrown, you know, I don't want to throw the word around tizzy lightly. It's really gotten a lot of, you know, people who consider themselves freelancers and independent contractors scared and upset, because it really has already affected those working that way in California. You know, what do you think the driving force is behind the scope of this legislation, Gene?
Well, AB 5 in particular, I think is very, very much off what the sponsors originally thought it would do. You know, I think the fact that it now has, I think, up to 14 exemptions, they clearly did not understand the impact of what this was. And to answer your question, what I think the intention of the law was well intended to protect people that perhaps are being abused by companies that would pay people as a freelancer or an independent contractor because they didn't want to pay them as an employee. But that's a very small percentage of the people that are working as independent contractors. But, you know, we have research that goes back now 9 years. Actually, this year we'll have our 10th year of the State of Independence in America, which is a independent research report sponsored by MBO Partners. And, you know, year over year, we have all this data, you know, over 80% of the people do independent contracting because that's what they want to do. They want the control to do the work they want to do where they want to do it. And they're happier, they're healthier, and they actually feel safer in terms of having a diversified income stream, being an independent contractor. And consistently, you know, it's a small percentage, under 15% of the people doing independent work, that feel reluctant to be doing it where they would prefer to have a full-time job. Mm. And certainly in this economy that we're in, which is a, you know, one of the lowest unemployments that we've had in decades, if people want a full-time job, they're out there to go get them. And most of the people that are doing independent contracting today and freelancing are doing it because they want to do it. And AB 5 totally missed the mark on that. They thought they were protecting the people that are working as freelancers. They thought they were leveling the playing field for companies that are, you know, not using freelancers who were at a competitive disadvantage against companies that do use freelancers. But the real reason is that's the new business model. The modern workforce today is a combination of full-time workers and freelance workers. And any company that is not addressing their workforce to deal with a combination of independent workers, freelancers, and full-time, they're just going to go by the wayside as a dinosaur, as many other companies have that haven't moved into the modern business model. AB5, I think, is a huge mistake. I think you're going to see it amended. I think you will see, the legislators revisit it. And again, the fact that there's so many exemptions just is proof that, they're backing off on some of what they wanted to see happen.
You know, Gene, I'm struck by the backlash against it, and rightfully so. And as you talked about, you know, them not really understanding the impact, it being well-intended, but them not being able to understand the full impact and that it would hurt more people than it actually helped. I can think back so many years ago when you actually predicted that the workforce would look as it does today. And, you know, MBO Partners has always been a leading voice in trying to educate the marketplace. And so it's almost a little, you know, surprising that in 2019, with this bill, you know, passing and becoming taking effect in 2020, that our lawmakers still understand so little about the nuances of the gig economy. Do you think that this legislation and the backlash to it represents a new opportunity to reopen that dialogue and to drive positive change?
I do. Karen, it will. You know, just like the rise of the recent gig economy brands that are popular now, certainly Uber and DoorDash and others, it's created a focus on this is a way of people working. And I do think AB5, with such a backlash from so many people now, that are saying that it's preventing them from having the right to be free to do the work that they want to do, is bringing attention to this, to the mainstream media, which, you know, it's always been kind of a nuanced, complicated, you know, area that never really hit the mainstream. But now it is. And I do think it's bringing the conversation to the forefront. I believe it still will take some time before it's flushed out. But, my view is there needs to be the ability to distinguish between people that want to choose to be an independent worker and like that work, that lifestyle, and actually have the ability to, negotiate what it is that they want and have the ability to take care of themselves and create their own livelihood, distinguish those people from others that need protections. There is the possibility of there being a race to the bottom when you have a marketplace where you have, a large supply and the demand drives prices down. So I do agree that there needs to be some protection. And we do have protection in our laws today. You know, AB5 was not necessary to create protections for workers. There's many rules regulations around what determines an independent contractor versus an employee. Mostly, it comes down to economic dependency provider of work, as well as control, how much you control that person. But AB5 makes it really difficult because there's these three tests, right? There's the control aspect. The ability, the C part of the test is making sure you're set up properly as a business, and the A and the C parts are okay. They're pretty consistent with what's been the case for many years. But the B part of the test, which basically says you can't be doing work that's core to the business. And that's what's really confusing. And actually, it's just wrong. It just shouldn't be that way. And I think that's where you're seeing a lot of these exemptions. And even, you know, even the sponsor of this law, Lorena Gonzalez, I even think, you know, there's I've seen her being interviewed. And quite honestly, I've actually, I'm not sure that, you know, she really understood the impact that this would have.
Mm. You have fine artists, you have plays and productions being shut down because they don't understand it. I know people who have lost all of their Californian clients because the clients just said, this is too confusing and we're just not going to work with contractors. So now you have people that have lost their livelihood and they desired, as you point out, to work that way. Even Bloomberg Law, I believe it was Bloomberg Law, wrote this a really great analysis, and they used an example that was funny, but it was chillingly real. And they said, you know, with AB5, the Uber driver who now can no longer work as an Uber driver, but that's what they really wanted to do, gets their car repossessed because they can't make the payments because they can't drive. But the repossession company that's a freelance contractor that comes to take away the car can still legally work, you know, as an independent contractor because they have a union and it's okay for them. And they were, you know, pointing to the irony in the law, because you have exemptions for certain classes that seem to be backed by those that have huge unions. But then other people who legitimately desire to work as a non-employee are unable to do so under this law. So I'm sorry, Michelle, what?
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's an excellent point. It does lead into our next question, which is, you know, with this law now coming to the fore at the federal level, you know, we have many independent contractors who are incorporated, you know, they're LLCs, they're S-Corps, and of course some are not. But what proactive steps should we all be taking in light of this legislation that seems to be, even though, you know, they're realizing now in California, oh, we need to change this. This wasn't such a great idea, but they seem to be plowing forward in Washington. What can we do to best be prepared to either, you know, either combat this or somehow work within this?
Well, one, you should just write your congressman saying this is just bad policy. I do not believe that it's going to get passed into law on a federal level. It'll never get past the Senate. And, you know, I think it would be a disaster if it ever did. And it would have a tremendous amount of pushback. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Now, you know, a lot of this comes down to, you know, politics. It also comes down to tax collection. And, you know, I think, you know, in states where there's higher deficits and there's stress on budgets, I think you will see more and more pressure to not be pro freelancing and independent contracting, because it's more difficult for government revenue collectors to collect taxes on individuals. It's just hard for them to enforce it. When you're an employee, your employer on a centralized basis collects everybody's taxes and remits them, and so that's, you know, that's kind of a motivation behind of all this. I think technology, and there's lots of systems out there that can accommodate. I mean, everybody needs to pay their taxes, and there's ways to do it without having to be an employee. And there's plenty of tools out there, plenty of technologies, plenty of platforms now that can help independent contractors run their own business, run their back office, make sure that their taxes are properly being budgeted and submitted. And you know, with the new tax law, that was enacted in the end of 2017, being a sole proprietor and having the benefit of the new benefit of 199A in the tax law actually makes it more economically advantaged to be an independent contractor. So there's this dichotomy going on today where, you know, technology, collaboration, the need for flexibility, the need for diversification, all leads to the workforce being more independent. And you have, you know, the tax laws that's actually advocating for people to start their own business and being independent. And then, of course, you have this other issue of, you know, not having a labor system and a tax collection system that supports it. So I think ultimately all that has to get flushed out, but I think it's going to take a while and it's probably going to be painful along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. That's very true. So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the American way, start your own business, do your own thing. And it seems like everyone's kind of a sea right now of, well, wait a second, isn't that what we're supposed to do? And now you're, you know, whether by intention or not, trying to make this less possible. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Times.
I think there's more people that are, you know, advocates of being, of having the freedom to choose. And I think there's more people that are advocating against a rule like AB 5. So, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, the right decisions will, from a policy point of view, will ultimately come to be. But I agree with you that I think this is now bringing the conversation out into the public where people are more aware of the issues.
Mm-hmm. You know, in our profession and in public relations, we work with journalists, and many journalists have become, you know, PR professionals, but we advocate for the media. We believe that it's very important, and they're being assaulted from every side. So we have, you know, colleagues that are writers, and we've seen big layoffs at media outlets again because of AB 5 and this rule that if it's your core business and if you're a paper, your core business is writing. So this law is saying you can't hire freelancers for that, or they limit the amount that a writer can write for an individual publication. As it exists today, is there anything that our freelance writer friends and our journalist friends can do to continue to thrive under AB 5 in California?
Well, you know, I think this rule of having 35 submissions is just crazy, but, you know, it's an arbitrary number. And someone thinks that once you have 36 times you write an article, you're an employee, but 34 you're not, which is just stupid. So I don't know that there's anything you could do other than, you know, don't have work in California, right? And do it remotely. You know, if you set yourself up as a, you know, there's three parts to this test, right? You got to not be controlled. So having multiple clients, taking on assignments that you don't work by the hour, or you're not controlled, as you have keep as much control as possible to yourself. That's one way to pass the A section of the test. The B section of the test says that, you know, even though you could have an exemption, you still have to pass the control part. And part of the exemption even says that you can't, you know, submit more than these, you know, 35 articles or projects. Mm-hmm. And you cannot be doing work for your for the client of whoever you're doing work for. So, you know, that's another, you know, kind of problem. The C part is, you know, set yourself up as a proper business. Make sure you have a business license. You know, you don't have to be an LLC or corporation, but theoretically, if you are, it's more evidence that you're in business for yourself. You know, getting insurance. So, you'd have to make yourself as much of a true small business as possible. And keep that evidence of that and not depend on one particular source of your income. I think that would be the best thing you could do right now to not be at risk. But the reality is your clients that will hire you don't know what these laws mean yet. It's murky. Yeah. Until there's litigation, they don't really know what to do. So they're going to just take the safe approach and say, I can't use you.
Exactly.
And that's the real problem. The law is not very clear, and it won't be clear until it's litigated or changed. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm seeing that there's already litigation that's going to hit, and I think that we're in for quite a ride in 2020. And, this conversation sort of brings to light something that the annual report has called out for many, many years too, that there are flavors of independence. And so when I think of people like Michelle and I, who, in the Solo PR Pro community, these are business people that are running micro agencies, some much larger agencies. But then the person who, maybe is a freelance graphic designer simply wanted to create work for themselves. They are not necessarily in that mindset of creating a business. And I know for some of those people, it may feel like under these circumstances, it's just easier to go to work because they didn't sign. They just wanted to work, and they just wanted to work for different people and do something that they loved. They weren't looking to really become an entrepreneur. And now there are all of these additional, what would feel to them like burdens. Do you think that we will ever get to a point in the United States where we can accommodate the different nuances of independent work?
Yeah. So we have a white paper that, a position paper actually, that we try, I spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill and try to stay plugged into what's going on and try to help them understand things. We just actually completed a platform for work for the World Economic Forum, along with a lot of the other platform companies. And the one message that I try to make loud and clear to anyone creating policy is one size does not fit all. And we believe there needs to be a certification process where if someone is understanding what it means to be a freelancer, what it means to be in your own business, the fact that you're not going to go ask your client for a vacation, you're not going to go ask your client for benefits, you're not going to go ask your client for any of the entitlements because you understand that's your own responsibility. Well, then there should be a designation that you could say, hey, raise your hand and say, listen, I'm on my own and I'm willing to do it. And don't have my client be don't make me a competitive disadvantage by not having my client feel comfortable using me. And we need to get that type of clarification where someone that opts into it and wants the freedom of being an independent contractor and a freelancer should have that right. That's a right you should have. And you should have the ability to acknowledge whether it's, taking some kind of, test that you know what it is to be an independent contractor, and that you're not being ignorant to what the rules are. You should be able to do that, and your client should feel comfortable hiring you and not having to worry about penalties. I think that's something that needs to happen. And there are a couple of laws out there that are being tossed around that do create what's called a safe harbor, so that if you do follow certain types of, processes and that you could be considered a safe harbor freelancer. But again, these are just bills that are in the very preliminary stage, and nothing has gotten traction of any significance yet.
Hmm. Wow.
Lots of good information today, Jean. Thank you so much. I think even that certification process, I was sitting here nodding my head of, it would at least be something where we could define ourselves as, our own entities, and yes, please do work with us.
Yeah. I mean, a certified self-employed kind of capability, I think is something that could really help a lot of people. So we hope we, you know, I for one am trying to get that message out, and you know, we'll continue working on it. And again, the research we've had for the last 9 years just supports all this stuff. And you know, like Karen said, you know, I'm really an advocate for this, and would, you know, love to participate in anything you think I could help with. I appreciate your podcast and reaching out. I think, you know, getting more people to be aware of this is a very good thing.
Definitely. It's definitely key. And, you know, I'm sure I speak on behalf of the whole solo PR pro world that, you know, since this is something that does affect our very livelihoods, we would be more than happy to be advocates for the work that you are doing on our behalf.
Absolutely. I would definitely encourage, I know that we've heard already from so many independent contractors in various fields, please visit mbopartners.com and read the post and the resources and the information and share with clients, because MBO Partners also has an enterprise product that really helps companies to understand how to compliantly utilize contractors. So just keep checking in with MBO Partners, support the work that they're doing. Gene, we're so thankful that you are such a strong voice in the independent workforce and bring us such great research and such great information, and are on the Hill advocating for our rights, and we will do anything that we possibly can to support you.
Yes, thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gene.
Well, thank you so much, Gene, for spending this time with us. And to our listeners, we truly hope that this has been a help to you to learn more about this legislation that is happening, and that also is something that you will pick up now and help advocate on behalf of all of our professions as independent contractors.